Good morning, Awaken Memphis. Let's worship the Lord this morning. Let's open up by singing of the blood of Jesus. You can even put your hands together if you want.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Sing it out.
Power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Your passion and pride. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tribe. There's wonderful power in the blood.
Sing it out.
There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Hallelujah. You're great, God.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
The splendor of a king.
The splendor of. Majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Age to age he stands.
Age to age. He stands. Time is in his hands. Beginning and the end. Beginning and the end. The Godhead, three in one. Father, Spirit. Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great, how great. Again, how great is our God. Yes, you are great. How great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Just sing the chorus to this song. I think you guys will remember it.
Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe.
Sing it again.
Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. Yes, we do. We believe for it. Yes, Lord, we believe it. We believe that what you said is
what you said, Lord, and we respond with yes and amen. Your promises stand firm. Your promises are forever. Yes, Lord. Yes and amen. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. One more time. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Yes, Lord, we're not satisfied, Lord. We want to see signs and wonders. We want to see revival, Jesus. Lord, we're after you. We're after you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we want you to move, Lord. We want to move in our lives, Jesus. Oh. Lord, we know that it starts with worship, Jesus. Lord, we just raise our hands, we worship. We open our mouths in worship. Before the world, we worship you. We lift you up, Lord. We magnify your name. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. And from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory, yes you do. All the saints, and all the saints and the angels, they bow before your throne. Their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy of it all. Come on, sing it with me. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory, yes you do. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. day and night, night and day.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense rise. Day and night, night and day, let incense. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. And from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. Glory from you, and from you are all things, to you are all things, you deserve the glory. From you are all things, and to you are all things, you deserve the glory.
Lord, sometimes we're just speechless at your holiness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your sovereignty, Lord, working things out. What an amazing God. Lord, we want to follow hard after you as the deer pants for the water, Lord. Lord, we're thirsty. We're with an unquenchable thirst that only you can quench. Yes, Lord. We ask for that living water, Lord. Lord, give us that power, that energy, Lord, from the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel, to share the good news everywhere we walk, wherever you have us, Lord. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would go with us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We're excited to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Paul Berkus. Thank you, Alvin McKinney. You saw Alvin with a sax and a flute. That's what you call multitasking. And if you were with us New Year's Eve at Brett Hodeshaw, we didn't want to leave. About 9:15, 9:30, the presence of the Lord settled in there, and we just didn't want to leave. Thank you so much, Paul and Alvin, for giving of your time, not only on Tuesday morning, but Friday evening. And Tommy, if you could come up here. Tommy's a veteran. I know probably out of anybody in the room here, I've known Tommy longer than anybody, at least 40 years. He was a pastor down in Colonial Hills Church in DeSoto County, had the largest church in DeSoto County. Pastored at Leewood, filled in for 2 years over here at Germantown Baptist, right at the end of the road here. He's currently over at Kirby Woods Church. He needs to be on the radio, and he's a veteran. It was a Korean War? Vietnam veteran. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to date you back that far, but Air Force veteran. And I've asked Tommy to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then he's going to open us in prayer.
United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. I'll put that up in the prayer. Would you pray with me? My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Father, we bless you this morning. Already we sense your presence in this room. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you. We ask this morning that you would search us and know our heart. Try us and know our thoughts. And Lord, if there is any wicked way in us, that you would create within us a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within us. Father, we come to you this morning hungry, and we ask you to feed us. Lord, we come to you with cold hearts, and we ask you to warm our hearts, set us on fire. Lord, we come this morning just many of us hurting, and we just need your comfort and your healing. But Lord, most of all, we come having asked you to speak to our heart, and we come believing that you're going to do that. We pray for our brothers that will come and speak. Lord, anoint them. Speak to my heart and to our heart corporately through whatever you've put in their heart to say. Lord, our ears are open and we're listening today. Speak, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Tommy will be our guest speaker next week. You're really going to be blessed by his teaching. One of the privileges I had when I worked with a Barnhart Crane and Rigging for 10 years was to be a champion for the 1040 window, North Africa, Middle East, Southeast Asia. And they allowed the employees to identify a ministry that they would personally get involved with, and that would mean going to that region of the world and making sure that the large investment that Barnhart Crane and Rigging was making to that region was being used in a way that they secured the funding for. And so for 11 years, every year I would take a 10-day to 2-week trip to a different a part of the 1040 window, and you couldn't take a computer with you because of security reasons. You could have a cell phone. I had a couple zip drives sometimes that I would take. And some of the places we would go, you basically had to sign a waiver that if something happened, you know, they'd notify the next of kin. We went to some very, very difficult most of the time I traveled by myself. I had somebody I had to meet at the airport, and first time I would meet them. And the man that I'm going to introduce to you real quick here is from Nepal. If you know anything about Nepal, Nepal has the most incredible mountain range in the world, the Himalayas. And I guess it was about a month ago, Julie and I, we usually watch a Netflix movie on Friday night. There was a documentary on called 14 Peaks. I really encourage you to watch it. And it was about a man that had a Nepalese, there's a real difficult group of people there that are so tough that the United Kingdom comes in, they recruit them to be the special forces, the armor bearers for the Queen. And this one Nepalese guy went and was on special forces for the UK for 6 years, and he came back. And the previous record for climbing all 14 peaks, which are all over 8,000 meters, that's 21,000 feet, it was a German guy, it took him 16 years to do it. Well, this Nepalese guy did it in 7 months, and this documentary is about him climbing all 14 peaks, Mount Everest, K2, the last mountain was in China, had to get special permission, and he'd run across bodies frozen on the side of the hillside. And the man that's going to share just a brief testimony, Samuel Kati, is saved out of a Hindu background, 22 years. He lives in a city, the capital, 6 million people. I was introduced to him through a Puerto Rican. If you know who Nicky Cruz is, you know the Puerto Ricans, when they get mad or they get preaching, they're quick. And we used to do a lot of prison work down in Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic and Cuba. And we had a guy that would go in with us every year, Pablo Escobar's teenage hitman. And he had a story like I've never heard before. He served the largest drug cartel in the world. and was a teenage hitman for Pablo Escobar. And he says, I no longer serve the most powerful drug cartel in the world. He says, now my bullets are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Milton connected me to Al Nucciarone, out of all people, the pastor in Jerusalem. I was in Israel 3 years ago, and I got a call from Al. He says, you got to get over to Jerusalem Baptist Church. The guy that owns the Patriots got 18 NFL Hall of Famers. And so a couple days ago, Milton contacted Samuel here, and he said, you've got to – he's coming to Tennessee. He needs to come to Memphis. So yesterday morning I called Jeff. I said, Jeff, I got a funeral I got to attend. I said, would you pick up Samuel? And real quick, on this funeral that we went to, Daryl Dempsey, Jeff and I sat next to each other. I haven't been to a funeral like that since Stephen Olford, where there was a choir, 150 people in a choir. They had an orchestra, the worship that went forward. And I'm just imagining what it's going to be like in glory with somebody like a Dempsey Dodd. And his daughter got up, one of his three daughters got up and held up a book where he had had a journal where he went to an EE class in the year 2000. And he had had over 420-something people that he had personally led to Christ. And those names were in a book. And even the grandson, Grant, got up at the end to close in prayer. And he said, I didn't even realize this till this past week that when I got married, that there was an insert in there that my grandfather had led the maid at the hotel to the Lord where I got married. And it was just a great, great legacy. But Samuel, come up here. You got about 4 or 5 minutes to share about the mission, Himalayas, Nepal. He said he's recruiting anybody that wants to go to the base camp. I think, what's base camp? 20,000? 14,000? You got to have oxygen when you get over 21,000. But these people are tough right here, man. You thought it was cold yesterday morning, Jake, in that deer blind or deer, what you were doing. When it gets up there and you got to have oxygen and you're trying to, you know, it's minus 30 and 40 degrees. But in Colorado, I think, only has elevation of 14,000, the highest elevation. The Himalayas are 29, 28, 20. It's incredible. Come on up here, brother. Share real quick. And then also, there's a brochure on your table about his ministry. And then last week, too, I didn't mention this, but Pastor Isaiah's brought an incredible message. And this is about his ministry, CDL. So please don't take lightly these things. Take them with you. You can pray for these ministries and partner with them, and the Lord will really bless you. Samuel?
Good morning. I am not the one who climbed the 14 mountains, but I am the Christ climber. Amen? Really. So you're welcome to be Nepal, or you want to climb the mountain, we can help you. Don't worry. With the gospel of Jesus Christ. Really, I appreciate David and his team here, and he given me this opportunity to share about Nepal. As I'm the pastoring, and they are Nepal as a missionary and working almost like about 20 years, more than that. And we have a network called the National Pastor Council Nepal, and we have over 200 pastors or the churches, they're part of that. And also we have a different wings ministry, and one of them is called the Mercy Mission Himalayas Nepal. And it's I have got a brochure about that, and this is the kind of we work for the social, you know, helping for the community. And we have several ministry there. Really, God has really put me something in my heart to share with you. And even the Bible says, surely I say to you, who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works that than those he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So, yeah, God has put me a great vision for Nepal, and we want to reach out. We have almost 30 million people, and there are many people are unreached. There are many places are unreached. So we have less than 2 point Christians community or the Christian population. So, but we have visions by 2035 to reach out almost, we want to see the 3,000 churches to be planted, you know. And that's a kind of I have a plan out, like each year I will reach out for the 100 church. And the first generation, second, and the third generation, it will double and triple, you know. That's our strategy to work in Nepal. Because that's how we can reach out. The first generation takes slow, and the second, it's a double, and third, and on the fourth, it goes like anything. It's called the movement. So I'm that movement, and we've been praying for the Nepal and to reach out in entire Nepal and win for Christ, for Jesus. So that's our vision, and really you need to pray for Nepal. And we have a niche, and we have a lot of pastors. And recently you might have heard like one of pastor was arrested because of preaching the gospel. There are many more pastors. They are put into the prisons, even like 10 years before I was put also. I was arrested and I was put into custody for a few days because of preaching the gospel. It is not easy. It's still the community or it's still the government of Nepal, you know, trying to just to ban or trying to just to persecute and trying to just to, you know, to put people to on the press, not to preach the gospel. But we thank God because God has given the opportunity. So we go and we preach the gospel and God is opening the door. And so this is how God is working in Nepal. So we have a ministry with several ministry. We just training pastors. We have a pastor and we have a mobile training for the pastor. We go to, you know, village to village or the place to place and we just collect like 10, 15 pastors. We train like a week. And, you know, and also we train for the youth people. And so just pray that we have several, you know, area that we can need to train the pastors and, you know, and train the believers and to make them the warrior for Christ. So, and discipleship, we are focusing for discipleship. We call the DMM, like a disciple-making movement, okay? That's a kind of things, like, you know, we've been doing. Like, that's what I told you, generation, first, second, third generation, and it's booms, you know, on the fourth generation. It goes like anything. So that's crazy. So that's the kind of thing we're trying to do in Nepal. So do pray for that, and God is willing, so it will just, you know, and that's I want to share to you, and also we have, you know, needs. So just pray for that, whatever the Lord leads into your mind. So this is the situation for Nepal. So really, I appreciate and thank you, David, for giving me this opportunity. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, Samuel. And he's open to meet with some people. I know Tommy's going to try to meet with him, too. Tommy was scheduled for Nepal several years ago, the week they had the big, I think, 8 on the Richter scale earthquake in Nepal. People were afraid. They couldn't live in their homes. The buildings were falling down. And I had one sports leader friend that I would meet with every year that his business was a brick. His family had a brick company. And he came to Orlando. We met, and he was wanting to pick up some titanium bicycles to take back. And I had a friend of mine in Tennessee that had a titanium bike company, and we got some bikes to take back. But all the pictures he sent, they were sleeping out in tents because of the 8.2 earthquake there in Nepal, because all the tremors and everything that was happening. I just want to sort of whet your appetite. We're going to have an international speaker every month because I think the international speakers help sort of put into balance the difference between the persecuted church and the Western church. I've got a man that's going to be here next month. He's from Morocco. I've been to his residence. He runs a school of prayer in Morocco. He has a compound very similar to what Henry has here, a swimming pool, three stories. He takes 20 people at a time, 10 days at a time, and he teaches them how to pray. It's called the Moroccan School of Prayer. It's a 100% Islamic country. You can't take a Bible when you go in there. The Gideons cannot distribute scriptures in Morocco. And this man, I met his wife and his daughter first. His daughter celebrated her birthday a couple days ago. The day that I showed up at his house, he had 75 martial art kids. Half of them were Muslim. They were doing MMA boxing. So it's more than just a house of prayer, school of prayer. He was doing outreach. And he wrote this, one of the six books he's written is called Mount Zion. And he told me there's three different types of prayers in the scriptures. There's the worshipers that you pray when you worship. There's the intercessors like we do on Monday night, and there's the spiritual warfare people that pull down strongholds. And so I'm going to pass this around. I want to whet your appetite. I want to ask Jason Murphy to come up here and introduce Wilson. We're really blessed today to have Wilson with us. And I think one of the incredible things that's unfolding at Shelby Farms on Sunday is the international people the Lord is sending us to reach the international people. You have Pastor Isaias here, Portuguese, French. He led a man to Christ out there the other day in Portuguese. We got to give him a Bible in his language. We had a medical doctor on last night, a Vietnamese that comes out. She brought a Chinese dentist with her. Wilson comes out with his family. And the international demographics is here in Memphis. I mean, we can think globally, but we got to empower locally, and we're blessed to have Wilson here.
Thanks, Dave. Good morning. How are you? Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but I am extremely blessed at Grace Chapel. The Lord has seen fit to send our congregation choice people. Many of you know Dave and all the work that he does, Kenneth and Janet Napper and all the work that they do. We have people who go to the rescue mission every month. We have people who own and operate transitional homes for guys who are coming out of drug and alcohol addictions, and they're able to come and live and go to church and get back on their feet. But the Lord has also seen fit to send us another sharp couple. We have Wilson and Eunice that have joined us at Grace Chapel. We're so excited about that. Wilson was born in India, has 21 years experience as a mechanical engineer, and is also served in senior managerial roles over that time for several different companies and in several different countries. He currently works for ABB, which was formerly known as Thomas and Betts, as a planning and fulfillment leader for the U.S. and Latin American regions. So pretty broad responsibilities there. He started in the ministry in 2002 when he was in India. It's something that is called Inter-College Gate Prayer Fellowship. And he and other Christian leaders were meeting with university students, with college students, and, you know, teaching them prayer, discipleship, counseling, worship, that kind of thing, just coaching them, mentoring them, discipling them in Western and Southern India. In 2012, his job moved him to Saudi Arabia. And it was there that the Lord opened the door for him and his family to pastor a multinational underground church in Saudi Arabia. We are blessed to have him at Grace Chapel. We are blessed to have him and his family right here this morning at Awaken Memphis. And I'm blessed to have you as my friend, brother. I'm looking forward to it today. Please welcome Wilson as he comes and brings the word of God. Wilson, I'm going to pray for you before you get started, okay? Father, I lift up Wilson to you today. Lord God, we ask that your anointing would come upon him. Lord, that you would empower him to communicate the word of God with clarity and with authority. Father, we pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying to the church this morning. Amen. I pray, God, that you would bless he, his wife, his children. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. What a blessing to be prayed over by the powerful man of God. Thank you, Pastor. Eunice and me enjoy the friendship and fellowship with you and Kelly and also others from Grace Chapel. I have to say that I'm privileged to talk in front of all of you, and I'm blessed to share the word. Last week, I had to join on Facebook Live, and I thank God for that, because I was blessed by your message, Pastor. And I'm sure many of us are again and again talking about it, and courageous witnesses is what has brought a great impact to my heart, at least. And thank God for the Facebook. It wasn't choppy last week, and it was good. I was able to join online. We arrived in United States a couple of months ago, probably in August 2021. The first thing when I came into United States, I saw there's a difference. And I saw people are not wearing masks. And there's a lot of, you know, people joining together. And I said, hey, look, am I the odd man out here? Me, Eunice, and kids, we are putting on the mask, walking on the streets, and we see a lot of them not having their mask. And I said, what's going on? And the reason I'm telling this is because I come from a country where the king rules. And his decree is what it is. No one can change it. What he says has a power. So by the decree, from 2021, beginning towards till I came in 2020 to 21, there was a decree that no one can walk on the street without a mask, and we were all have to abide with that. I can understand. I was born and raised in India, the largest democracy of the world. You know, you have choice, you have challenges, you know, you have two houses. Anybody can veto before the bill is passed and laws is implemented. Even judiciary has a higher authority. But it takes months and days and sometimes years to implement something which is a common sense sometimes, right? It doesn't happen in Saudi. You know, we call it as Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's a kingdom. The king declares the decree and it is implemented within hours, within days. So, pardon me if I'm wrong with the United States democratic process, but I have an experience of living in Saudi and see the kingdom authority in natural, and also have an experience of enjoying the kingdom authority in spiritual. God's kingdom is very important for all of us here. And we are all come, we are raised early in the morning, and we have come together, and we are the leaders in different parts of our life and of our jobs, our ministries and our organization. Kingdom of God is so important for us. But understanding the kingdom of God is also important, and living and operating in the kingdom is also important. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Amen. I have some audience today. Thank God for that. So Jesus Christ began his ministry by saying, kingdom of God is here. And he concluded his ministry on earth by talking and about the things concerning about the kingdom of God. And this morning, I want to talk of kingdom authority and walking in authority, power, and dominion. Walking in the power, authority, and dominion. As a kingdom authority, we have been vested with the same responsibility, isn't it? As a leaders and believers in this Memphis city. And I'm sure anywhere you are living, God has vested his authority on us to execute and bring his kingdom on this earth. Jesus introduced the kingdom of God when he said, the kingdom of God is here. He did so with power, authority, and dominion. In Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in synagogues, announcing the good news about kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease and illness, and the news about him spread as far as Syria. People soon began bringing to him all who were sick and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. And Jesus Christ, when he's teaching in synagogues and about the kingdom of God, he not only proclaimed the kingdom of God, he also used the dominion power vested upon him, and he demonstrated by healing the sick. The blind man started seeing. The epileptic lost, who was losing everything in his life, was risen. The mute man spoke, the blind man saw. He demonstrated, he said, kingdom of God is here. And when he said, he demonstrated it with authority. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, but if I am casting out demon by the Spirit of God, then kingdom of God has arrived among you. Amen. Let me read out again. But if I am casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived. Meaning to say, if you want to see the kingdom of God and you want to see the evidence of it, hey, come over. Come over and see the people who have been liberated. Come over and see the people who have been healed. Come over and see the people living free in freedom. There's signs and wonders. There are miracles. Jesus exerted that authority over the powers of darkness. He used the authority vested upon him by the Father to have dominion over the principalities. Paul says, we are not fighting against the flesh and blood, we are fighting against powers of darkness and principalities. And how Jesus, while he was ministering, he turned out to his disciples and said, hey, look, I am teaching, I'm preaching, I'm telling about the kingdom of God, and I want you to do the same thing. What I do, you do. What I tell, you tell. The way I do it, let I give you the power and dominion to do the same thing. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, 7 and 8 says, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirit. Jesus gave the power to cast them out, to heal all kind of sickness and all kind of diseases. Verses 7 and 8 has a command. As you go preach, saying, kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Hallelujah. He's telling his disciples, don't go with fear. Go with confidence and courage. Go, when you speak about the word of God, you speak with the dominion power which is vested upon you.
Yes.
All I want to make a point and understand this morning is that when we have the kingdom of God, we have the power and dominion, power and authority to rule over the darkness. We are the leaders in Memphis City. We are the leaders in Nepal. We are the leaders in Mozambique. All we want to do to bring that dominion power and a kingdom authority into our places where we live, into this generation that we are living. We have to raise up new leaders with an attitude of dominion power, kingdom authority, so that they start living the way that God has called us to live. He told his disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We have the batch, isn't it? Amen. We have been asked to go and make disciples. Bring them into the salvation. Baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In addition to that, we are there to observe or teach them all that Jesus has commanded you and me. To use the kingdom authority. Use the kingdom authority to not only to proclaim, and all, we are there to demonstrate that kingdom authority. Amen. That is what we are called for. He wants us to do it. Just do it. I love that Nike ad, right? Just do it. And it gives a tick mark. Everything is correct. Just do it. Because you're led by the Spirit of God. You're baptized in the name of God, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is an authority that is given to us. Here is the challenge. How can I do that? How can I do that? I know that I have to do, but how can I do that? I understand Jesus had this power. I understand the 12 disciples lived with him and they understood how to do it. They saw it. The first church was able to do it. How should I do it? Yes. You know what? Hello. We are heir and the joint heir with Jesus. We're heir and joint heir with Jesus. This was his original plan. The Son of Man, in Matthew chapter 25, it says, when the Son of Man comes back in his glory, all nations will be gathered. And he's going to separate the goats and the sheep like the shepherd. He's going to call the sheep, put them on the right hand and the goats on the left. And Matthew chapter 25 verse 34 says, Then the king will say to those to on his right, "Come. Come, you who are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of this world." So this inheritance and this plan was available at the creation of the world. Amen. So God's intention was to call you and I, all of us here, everyone who is going to hear this message, to be heir and co-heir with Jesus Christ. Today we are his children as well. In Romans chapter 8 verse 16 and 17 says, "For his Spirit is joined with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Yes. His Spirit joins with my spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And see, since we are his children, come on. That's where the real message comes. We are his heirs. Together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. We are heirs in his kingdom. We inherited the kingdom. So the authority of kingdom of God is flowing through our life. The kingdom authority is what? It's flowing in our lives. So can we say this? Kingdom authority is vested on in me altogether. Kingdom authority is vested in me. We are heir of God and we have authority of God. And the king is flowing. His authority is flowing through us. What amazes me is the policemen. We know they are strongly built and have the courage to stand in the middle of the road. And when they come in the middle of the road, when they raise their hands up, everything stops. Most of the time, yes. There are certain times that it does not happen, but most of the time, yes. But look at it. When he stands and he raises his hand, he can stop the most powerful, the modern automobiles on that road. It could have crushed him, but why do he has an authority? His uniform and his badge, which is given by the government, gives him the authority to stop everything on that road. So it is same in the spiritual realm. You might think not high about yourself, but God has vested the kingdom authority on you and me this morning and from the day of this creation of this world. We have the power to stop every dominion power of darkness in our life. It's time for us to raise up a hand and stop every power of darkness in the city of Memphis, in United States, in India, in Nepal, in Mozambique. We have the vested power upon our shoulders by God to stop the dominion power of the demons. There's a choice to make, isn't it? There are some policemen, not everyone, some, who turn their face away from the violation that's happening and they pretend they have never seen that situation and they ignore the challenges which group we belong to. Which group we belong to? Are we going to stand up and raise our hands and stop every power, dominion power, darkness that is operating in our environment and circumstances and stop it or be ignorant? Sadly, many of choose to be ignorant, but we need to change that today. We need to change that this very moment and be an impact to our generation. We need to start saying that I know that I am the part of the kingdom of God. I know the Almighty has made me heir and kingdom authority is flowing through our life. It's time that we raise and say, stop, you devil. You are defeated enemy. You have no power, no dominion over this environment, over my city, over my neighborhood. Why do we have this authority? It's a positional authority. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us together, and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." God has raised us together, and he made us to sit at the right hand at the heavenly place with Jesus. Look at what the authority that we have. We are, and we have that position at the right hand side of God.
Yes.
What a powerful, isn't it? What a position that we have. This. Are we going to sleep at his right hand side, having that immense power with us? Are we going to put it wasted? I'll tell you what. When we go back to a father's house, there is no lepers. There is no sick man. There's no blind people. There's no lame. There's no demon possessed. All we have to use as authority is here in this time, in our generation. It's a God-given authority that we have. We have to use it at the given time and a given moment, at the given opportunity, so that his kingdom comes and his will be done on earth.
Amen.
The problem is we operate in two worlds, isn't it? We live in the naturals, and we also have an experience of the kingdom. Most of the time, we have to address the natural things around us. When we are dealing with the natural things, the first thing that comes in our mind is, hey, look, hold on. Let me think, how should I deal with this? There's a reasoning we start using. I think it's normal. It's normal to have that reasoning at that point of time. But we have to know we have invested authority over our shoulders. Every situation, every circumstances has to be seen from an attitude of child of God, as an attitude of kingship, as an attitude that we are heir and co-heir with Christ Jesus. Everything in natural is subdued to the spiritual. We can change everything in the natural from the point of spiritual. We have that victory that is won at the cross of the Calvary. With his resurrection, we have been given the eternal life. We know how the spiritual work. The challenge is to act beyond the reasoning and act spiritual. This is a choice we make at certain times. We have to be cognizant to operate with the kingdom power and dominion at all time. Amen?
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 Amen.
So what are the realm of authority we have? So it is wrong to say that a policeman can come into your house and tell you what to do. He doesn't have that authority to come into your house and dictate what you have to do. A traffic policeman, when he stands on the streets, he can regulate the traffic. That is his realm. So we have to understand, we have our realm of authority to see the fruit of the kingdom authority in our life. The first, we have authority over every demonic work. We have authority over every demonic work because my Savior Jesus has won that battle for me and you. That is the victory that we have. So everything is easy. We have authority over every demonic power in our city, in our neighborhood, in our houses. We raise up our hand and we can dictate the power and dominion power of God with authority. We are leaders in our respective areas. We are challenged by demonic powers. While I was preparing this word, I just opened the digs and I was reading, what is demonic power? Let me revisit it. He says he has everything. He's smart. He's intelligent. He has a power. He can deceive. But the important thing here is he is defeated. He works from defeat, but we work from victory. And that's the power that we have over demons. We have authority over natural elements, circumstances and situations on this earth. When Jesus spoke to the disturbance on the water, he spoke with authority. And we have to use the same authority what Jesus used to speak to the winds and bring peace in our life. Let's exercise this authority in our life. However, we don't have authority on people's will. If you are allowed to have an access in their life, we can pray for their circumstances, we can pray for their environment, but we don't have authority on people's life. How do we exercise kingdom authority? We exercise kingdom authority by words of our mouth. We exercise kingdom authority by words of mouth. Ecclesiastes 8 and 4 says, where the word of the king is, there is power. We need to use the authority. We need to issue the decree. Do you remember what I was saying at the beginning of my sermon? The king issued the decree that everyone have to wear mask, and everyone, here we go, everyone using mask. We have been vested with kingdom authority in our shoulders, and we use the decree in the name of Jesus. As a believer, we have an authority to use his name, the name of Jesus. I was watching The Chosen a couple of days ago with my children, and there's a scene where Jesus is preaching, and this brothers, Peter and Andrew, after toiling whole night, using their skills to have a dominion power on the fish, they come as a loser. This second Adam tells them, go put your net on a wrong time, on a wrong place, in a wrong environment. And the fish fought with each other to be in that net. The word, Peter used the word of Jesus Christ and used that authority over the fish of the sea. We have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. We use it in the circumstances. We use to use in the environment that we are living to bring an impact. As a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God has called us. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus rebuked the fever and it left it. And he spoke to the fever. He spoke. We will speak to the environment, and the dominion power of darkness will flee in the name of Jesus. Another way to exercise this kingdom authority is with the power office of the Holy Spirit. So anointing over us empowers us to overthrow the powers of darkness. It is the anointing that breaks the yokes and breaks the burden. That is why we need to pray and ask for more anointing. So it gives me a small illustration, right? If you want to transmit a current, you can use a thin wire or you can use the big wire. Thin wire can transmit a small amount of current, few amperes. As the thickness increases, the magnitude of current which passes increases. We are going back to God to anoint us with the Spirit. Ask Him, Lord, fill us. Where are we going? We are going to the power source. And we are asking, God, fill me up with your anointing. I want to be used in my situation. I want to be used in that environment. That is the call we have to do. Let us pursue the strength that God has given to us through the Spirit. We can ask with this confidence, Lord, the ordinary fisherman was able to use that dominion power and authority of kingdom to make that lame man walk. He jumped, he danced, and he entered the temple. If God can give that power to ordinary men, a fisherman, He can give all of us leaders here who have joined here. I'm overwhelmed this morning. For me, it's a message too. I want to ask the dominion power of God in my life, in my circumstances, in this new year. How do we do? The third point is, we exercise the kingdom's authority by prayer. Jesus taught us this prayer. He said, to pray, let His kingdom come, let His will on earth as it is in heaven. We can do that prayer to reign over this earth. At the closing, let us allow this God-given authority to work in our life, in our environment, in this year, in this new year, 2022. Let us walk with awareness that we have dominant power and authority over principalities of darkness and the powers of darkness. Why? Because God so loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. God had to give that ultimate sacrifice to make sure we get that inheritance which was available at the beginning. There's a cost paid, huge price paid for this dominion, kingdom, authority. I would encourage and challenge everyone this morning to have that kingdom authority in your life and understand how to live and flow in that kingdom authority in our life. Amen.
Thank you, Ronnie Stevens, and go Georgia Bulldogs Monday night. Ken, come up here. We're going to pray for Ken. He has surgery, brain surgery on Friday. I'm going to ask Jason to come up here and lead this. Paul, could you lead us in River Runs Through, please? And if you're an international, I don't want to get a whole lot of people up here with a COVID situation, but if you're an international, Samuel, you come up. Isaiah, come up, and we're going to lay hands on Ken and pray for this surgery Friday. I forgot to mention at 3 o'clock today, Samuel will be interviewed on Bot Radio from 3 to 3:30. So that little short period of time. I'm just going to lay hands on Ken here. He's got brain surgery. Is it Tupelo, Jackson?
Oxford.
He's going to have this taken care of. But we're going to appropriate the message we just heard, Wilson. And Jason, if you could lead us in praying for a divine healing manifestation, whatever the Lord wants to do. If y'all could just put your hands forward, Jason, and we're going to pray.
Mighty God, we come before you today, and we obey your scripture to lay our hands upon the sick, to pray the prayer of faith. Believe, mighty God, for them to be healed. We ask, oh God, that you would touch Kenneth Napper. Lord, we pray that your spirit begin to flow all over his body. God, all of the cancer that has invaded his body would be removed in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would work a miracle in his body. God, we pray that when he goes to the doctors tomorrow, when he goes in on Friday, they would be shocked. They would be amazed, oh Lord, at the healing that's taking place in his body right now. Oh mighty God, we ask that your spirit would do a mighty work in him. Father, we recognize that you work by miracles. We also recognize that you work by means. Lord, thank you for the doctors. Thank you for the surgeons who help. We pray, God, you give them wisdom to know what to do. God, to discern the problem, the right avenues to go down. Father, we pray that you would speak to them and guide them. I pray that they would find themselves doing things that they normally would not do, even if it goes against protocol to bring about healing in Kenneth's body. Father, we thank you for that. God, we unite our faith together right now. We pray, Father, that this tumor in his brain would shrink, it would dissolve, it would be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Brother Wilson, for an incredible word. Thank you, Samuel, for being here. I apologize for not recognizing the first-timers. Julius, you're a missions director at Harvest. Is that correct? Stand up and introduce yourself and anybody else here for the very first time.
I'm Julius James. I work at Harvest Church as a local missions director. And I'm 25. I'm originally from Oklahoma. I've been working at Harvest for about 3 years now. So it's been such a joy and pleasure to join you all this morning in worship and hear Wilson preach. So.
Now, the first-time comer, they have to bring coffee next week, okay? No, welcome. Ronnie Stevens sent me an email yesterday that you were going to come, so thank you for being here. Is there anybody else here for the first time besides Samuel? Amen. Oh, over here. Tim Potter. Come here, Tim. Come up here, brother. Tim is a medical doctor, him and his wife. His wife is from Vietnam. Tim, I appreciate what you're doing. You come out on Sunday at Shelby Farms. You join us on Monday night, and you just give a couple minutes here. We're going to have him speak one Tuesday morning, but tell us what you do and sort of the overflow of what's happening here with the medical industry. Just, you can take 5 minutes and you'll come back and share. This brother right here has a discerning spirit. All the fraud and the nonsense that's taking place with the pharmaceutical companies, with this COVID stuff that's happening. If you could just share briefly. But brother, thank you for you and your wife. They bring their whole family out. There's five of them that come out to Shelby Farms, like Wilson and his wife. It's such a blessing to see the entire family come out and evangelize. And then Henry's going to come up and give us a challenge. Dr. Tim Potter.
Hi, thank you, David. I appreciate you all, and this is my first time here this morning. And my wife, Kim, is the Vietnamese doctor that was mentioned before. And it's a little bit confusing what our situation is. She's working for Christ Community Health Services. There's also Church Health Center, but we're with Christ Community Health Services, which is a multi-clinic group. I was with them as well for 10 years. We came here for that after learning about them in a missions conference 10 years ago in 2010. But I've not been with them for the past year. We have a special needs child, and I've been home with her for a year. And in that time, we adopted her. Her parents are Pakistani. In that time, I learned about a group called Remote Healthcare Solutions that is coming online to try to help doctors and nurse practitioners who are being kind of oppressed, and I'm going to use that word, about the COVID situation. Like, you can't, you can't possibly prescribe ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. You can't do the eight other things that the Frontline COVID Critical Care Alliance and other good doctors, Peter McCullough, others, have talked about. In other words, what I'm saying is there's things that should be done for COVID that are being basically outlawed. And if you speak publicly, like making a video, which I've started to make tiny videos on Rumble and things, trying to inform people about these things, your license can be threatened. So this is doctors, nurse practitioners. Some of them have quit. I didn't quit over COVID at all, but it was just getting ramped up at the time that I left Christ Community. Christ Community is kind of a champion for all things normie with COVID. My wife is still working for them, and they've given her a religious exemption, which we were thankful for, of course. But it's odd to have to go begging, cap in hand, to keep your basic rights. There was something called HIPAA just 2 years ago. I was praying last night in the 3 minutes that I had, just trying to acknowledge God's sovereignty and beauty in giving us the basic, like pledging allegiance to the flag. It's probably never meant so much to me, as it did this morning. And now, I haven't said the pledge in a little while, but I mean, like, reminding of that, I had it every day in school growing up. But I didn't realize that the things if you turn it into a prayer, it's a thanksgiving to God that the things we have in this country that were acknowledged earlier today that are different in the West are just gifts from God of basic human liberty. Why does authority stop, at the life of your neighbor? It's because God has given liberty to your neighbor, right? Liberty to screw up his life if he wants, right? So God's given the liberty to every person, but governments come and they take that away when we stop exercising our authority to maintain that liberty and expand that liberty and to bring it to other people as well. So what's happening is that liberty is being stripped away. And so the group that I just learned about, called Remote Healthcare Solutions, RHSUSA.com, is just another option for people for telemedicine. It's just getting revved up. I'm not working yet because they don't have a malpractice policy in place yet. So I'm hoping that all gets revved up soon. But it's going to be a home for providers, but also for patients who are looking for somebody who's going to stinking give them the ivermectin, you know what I'm saying? And not shove the vaccine answer down their throat. And just a quick last thing I'll say is that we're watching just a crumbling, not only of medical ethics, but of research ethics, of transparency, of basic accountability. Why does Pfizer get to hide everything they're doing for the next 50 years? Right. I mean, just scratching at all, beneath the surface of what we get off of that propaganda box that everybody enshrines like an altar in their living room. And you see there's like nine different, probably dozens of different normal things that are just being crumbled to the ground right now as if they never existed. You can make a list, and that's why it takes more than 5 minutes to talk about. But yeah.
Thank you. you know, this broadcast, Kumar from India has been watching. We have some international people watching. Henry has got the equipment here with his mixer. It's taped by Dave. It's aired Sunday on KLAM. This message will be available.
Yeah, this message is available tonight. If Dave gets it up by tonight and it's macro form, it will be edited down to 56 minutes, and it will also be uploaded to JesusHelps.me, where you can access it through Awaken Me. You just click on Awaken Me. All these messages are there. So if you miss them one Sunday and you want to hear them again, you can just click on that. It's a ton of work, and Dave has to do that work. It's a ton of work to get all these messages uploaded. When we came up with this idea, we thought, man, you just push a button and it all uploads. That's not really what happens. And so Dave Davenport is a gift from the Lord. Hey, Wilson, thanks so much for explaining our authority of who we are in Christ. So I have a question. It's the same one Jesus asks all the time. Luke 6:46, why do you call unto me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It's one of the scariest phrases in the Bible. So I have a question. With all this authority of who we are, who did you engage last week personally that was far from God? We're at the beginning of a new year. All last year you told yourself you were going to do it right. Have you ever been like me? I've been like that. But yet the end of the year comes, and what do you have to show for it? And by that, I'll just ask you the question. Let's just take it out from under the rug. How many yeses did you have last year? How many no's did you have last year? Who did you get in the baptism tank last year? You want to know where the signs and wonders went? They went with the people that were engaged on the front lines. You don't get them and then go. As you go, the King goes with you. He's vitally interested in his kingdom and his name, but he's not interested in your ego. So my challenge to you is, if we were in business, and my family's been in business 102 years. What we always did in October, we started about October, we like to keep the math simple. You can divide everything by 10 instead of 12. It's a lot easier. If you had 100 failures, you know that you average 10 failures a month, right? You extrapolate that. Okay, we had 120 fails this year. If we had a certain amount of gross, we could just divide that by 10, then multiply it by 12. That's how much gross profit we were going to generate for the year. And then we sat down for 2 months, and we planned next year. What are you planning for 2022? What is your church, what is your organization planning for 2022? If you engage this many people that were lost in 2021, how much are you going to increase that? Are you going to increase it 10%, 1%? Or if you're going to be like me, some points in your life, are you going to just do it at all? So that's my challenge. It's a very sober challenge, because here's what really is really bothering me. We have all this kingdom, we have all this authority, and the King has not changed. Our message has not changed. There's no change in this one word called go. And I got a video on New Year's Day. And I won't tell you who, because I'm not into sensationalism, but it's a legit live video of one of the precincts getting ready to go out to keep our streets safe. And I haven't been in Baghdad when the war started. But those guys are sitting in their parking lots, because there's only 12 cars that get to go out. And the film's rolling. I don't want to exaggerate, 8,000 to 12,000 rounds went off. Bullets landing in their parking lot
in Memphis, Tennessee.
And you want to know how darkness is in this city? And all they could sit there to do is laugh and said, I don't think I'll go out right now. And I'm talking about fully automatic ARs. I'm talking about shotguns. I'm talking about high caliber. You can tell the ones that are 9mm. You can tell the ones that are probably the 223s. And you can tell the ones that are 50 cals, too. It's sobering. It's darkness. And how long are we going to sit here and talk about what we got? And it's time to get off of what we got and go. That's the only thing. I don't know how to go necessarily. But I do know this, at Shelby Farms, we have 8 to 10 countries every week that are willing to take Bibles in their native languages. And how many churches we got in Memphis? 3,200 churches, and there's never more than one or two, three represented there. We got churches of thousands that never engaged the gospel in Memphis, Tennessee. We got nonprofits out the kazoo that never engaged the gospel in Memphis, Tennessee. So as we move into 2022, if there's anything I can do to implore all of us who say that we follow the name of Christ, if not now, when? Are we going to get to the point we don't have a police force to go out? It makes a difference that we go. It makes a difference who you vote for. It makes a huge difference, these local officials, these school boards that have taken over our schools. Who's running for office in your district, and are you working for them? Take Jesus with you and go and get involved. I don't know how, I am flabbergasted about what's happening in our streets. And I'm flabbergasted by the fact that most of us are sitting out here in Germantown and Kyle hiding. Where do we meet on Sunday? 3 o'clock. We've moved it to 3 o'clock at Sheffy's. The weather's been tough now, guys. We, you know, when it was snowing, if it's snowing, we're probably not going to meet. You know, we don't have anywhere inside to meet. If it's just like pouring down rain in the wintertime, I don't know. David's probably out there running around in the rain, but I'm not. The point is, Shelby Farms is open. There's all kinds of parks open. And yes, we said 6 months ago, we're going to go to all these different parks and we're going to get this venue up and running. But it's been great at Shelby Farms. And as high as we've gotten is 20, 22 people, I think, maybe 24. But I will say this, when the number of people is over 15 to 20, there's professions of faith every time. When the numbers get down to 4 and 5 of us, there's not always a profession of faith. Now, it's God's kingdom. It's God's word. But I didn't get to Shelby Farms this week. I had one gospel share. I mean, that's the bad thing about getting up here challenging all of you. How many gospel shares did you have? I had to get mine over the telephone with a person that works for United Airlines. Okay. And I do know in my home, my wife had one. So in your home, are you guys engaged together in the kingdom? In your church, are you engaged together in the kingdom? Let's get busy. What are our plans for 2022? Jesus, you know our city needs help. Jesus, I need help. You do have authority over everything. And Father, you've told us how to use it. You've told us how to go. And Father, yet we keep running into this broken world and this huge onslaught against your kingdom and your church. And Father, I've confessed many times I look at the waves instead of the way maker. So Father, help us all in this room to look to you. Help us all in this room to get a good plan for 2022 and to execute it. We pray for each and every family represented in this room, each and every church represented in this room. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to motivate, stimulate, and guide us until you bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a Valley of the Well production.